Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, September 28th. I'm Ray Graff. It's our Pets and Vets program today. Aren't you thrilled? Well, Dr. Ron Scharf of the Animal Hospital of Niskayuna will join us this afternoon to take your questions about all your feline and canine companions. Dr. Scharf is stuck in traffic at the moment, so it's iffy whether he'll be here. No, he'll get here eventually. And if you're listening, Dr. Scharf, don't speed. Don't cause an accident. Take your time. Worst that can happen is you're not here right at the beginning. I'll answer some questions incorrectly. You'll come on. Apologize for my ignorance. It happens all the time on Vox Pop. The number to call is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Pets und Vets today after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's our Pets and Vets program, allegedly, this afternoon. And here to take your calls, perhaps, is Dr. Ron Scharf from the Animal Hospital of Niskayuna, New York. Dr. Scharf is definitely a 1985 graduate of the Veterinary College at Cornell. He's got an extensive experience in veterinary medicine of all shapes and sizes. Dr. Scharf will be here, at some point. He's in traffic. He really ought to take the arterial and not central lab. But that's another story. The number to call is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. You want to get in line early, because the lines will fill up fast, and, you know, if he shows up with 12 minutes of the show left, we may not get to your call. So 800-348-2551 is the number. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. I'll be checking the email myself. And as you know, I have a very low level of competence in most things that I do, and email checking is one of them, but I'll do my best. So if you email, hey, you know, we'll give it a shot, right? So while we're waiting for Dr. Scharf, I could A, take calls and give you incorrect answers, or B, leave you on hold and we'll wait for Dr. Scharf and give you the correct answers. Let me talk to you about cats for a moment. Cats, well, were they designed by our Creator to torment humanity? That's the question I have for you today. Let me tell you about my cat, a little story. So our cat adopted us. It's a long, convoluted tale. We did not pick this cat. This cat picked us. And this cat is now a couple of years in to her tenure at our home. Again, we weren't really voluntary subjects of this. So the cat, when she first arrived, would eat anything. Anything. Now the cat has trained me to buy the most expensive food available. This food is a 99 cents a packet. It is the only thing she will eat, and it drives me insane. Do you have a cat? Does your cat drive you insane? I'm convinced that this cat epidemic, was put on the good earth by the Lord, him or herself, to torment humanity. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551 is the number. Dr. Ron Scharf will be our guest. Dr. Ron Scharf presumably is getting out of his vehicle, sauntering up to the station, and will be with us in a moment. In the meantime, let's take a call, shall we? Stephanie in Gansvoort. Stephanie, you're on the air. Oh, this is not going well. Zach, the engineer, where's Stephanie?
Hey, can you hear me? Hello?
Hello, Stephanie, you're on.
Hello. Hi. It's good to talk to you, nice. And I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
I have a dog that has an ongoing health problem. We've had him to 3 vets at this point, and we haven't come up with a solution yet. Hmm. And he has a stomach where his stomach goes off, and he goes off of his food, is desperate to go outside every 10 minutes and eat more grass. And then within hours, it will settle down again. It seems like it's periods of this. And I'm just wondering if it's possible that he's a shedder of hookworms, since he did come from a shelter and had some tough exposure as a puppy, if there's such a thing as that with dogs, like there is with horses, even though his fecal samples come back clean.
So that was my question. So the vets have said everything looks good.
The vets have said they look good. His fecal sample's clean. They don't think it's, you know, that problem, but we can't figure it out. And he gets quite uncomfortable.
Oh, that's terrible news. And so you think it could be hookworm?
Well, that's just one of my things. He has had hookworms, and I know, like with horses, you can have a horse that you can't get rid of them entirely, and they will always be a carrier and a shedder. And I'm just wondering if that same thing can happen in dogs, if that would even cause these kinds of symptoms.
I've got to be honest with you. That's a real question for a vet. And Dr. Ron Scharf is our vet today. He'll be here shortly. So if you want to hang on there, I will. As soon as he walks in, I'll go back to you and we'll answer that question. What do you think?
That sounds great.
Okay, we're going to put you on hold. Oh, this is Adventures in Radio. This is why I get paid extremely the small bucks. Mark in Mount Tremper. Mark, you're on.
Good afternoon. We have a Labrador Retriever. He's the second lab we've had. And unlike our previous one or most dogs, he could care less when we arrive in the house. Or, he's totally not affectionate. Totally distant. He likes to walk with us. He loves other dogs. But he doesn't really respond affectionately to us. We're curious if you or any of your listeners or the doctor have come across such behavior in labs in particular.
That's very interesting. Labs, I'm not a dog owner, but I've been around people who have owned labs for many times. And I think Joe Donahue has had a lab over the years. They always seem to be very friendly. Is there something about you or your family that might be considered antisocial?
No, not at all. And we're certainly the same people who we were when we had our very affectionate lab previously.
Well, I mean, I assume that some dogs could have personality. Joe Donahue, who is not a vet, is here. But
not
you've
a
had
vet.
A lab, right?
I have a lab. I've had several labs, and I have one currently. But they sort of strive on affection and food. And I missed the first part of the call. So the your problem is
not a very affectionate dog. Doesn't come over and greet Mark and the family. The other lab certainly did, but this one not so much.
And how old?
He's now 2.5.
And this isn't a change in behavior. This has been an existing behavior.
That's correct. He's always been like this. If he's lying on the couch when we walk in the door, he might lift his eyelid to see who's coming and then close his eyelid.
It's my kind of dog.
So he's not very likable to you. Yeah, I guess dogs can be jerks too, right?
That's what I'm saying. The dog is just indifferent.
He's very indifferent. Now, the plus of it is, unlike our first dog, he doesn't bark to be taken out in the morning. He'll stay totally idle until we wish to take him out. He's not very demanding in any kind of way, and he's a very good dog. But this very odd behavior, particularly my wife, who enjoyed the affectionate companionship of our previous dog, was very disappointed.
Well, this is a fascinating one, and Dr. Ron Scharf just walked in, and so I'll give you the quick précis here. Mark in Mount Tremper has a lab. Now, this is the second lab they've owned. The first lab that they owned was extremely affectionate, gregarious, the usual lab. Their new dog, while not a bad dog in any way, he's indifferent to the family, doesn't come run over and greet them. So in your experience, Dr. Ron Scharf, and welcome back to the show, Joe Donahue miraculously morphs into a vet, incredibly. So in your experience, have you ever seen anything like this?
I do know that there are different personalities. It is true that it's unusual for a lab to be indifferent. I don't know what kind of background the lab had. How old, Mark, was the second lab when you got him or her?
We purchased him from
insurance. Well, we're losing him.
You purchased, I think you said that you purchased a dog from...
Were you able to hear that?
No, not too well, but try it one more time here, Mark.
Yes, sir. 9 weeks old, we purchased...
9 weeks old, they purchased it through the paper, you said? Okay, bad connection there, Mark. We'll leave you on hold here. Maybe you're driving in a bad spot. Let's go back over to Stephanie in Gansevoort. Stephanie, the doctor is in.
Hello, I am here.
Hi, Stephanie. I did hear your question as I was driving.
Did I expertly answer the question?
You pretty much did a good job.
Thank you very much.
Stephanie, I would wonder, first of all, it would be simple to just give the animal a medication for what you're suspicious of, the hookworm. There's very little downside to giving an anti-parasite drug, though if one or more than one fecals came back negative, it's unlikely that it's hookworms. And I do remember that you said you brought in one or two different vets about it. So I would wonder, has a biopsy been done? Because the dogs can get something similar to people getting irritable bowel syndrome. They can get inflammatory bowel disease. They can get other problems like pancreas problems, whether it's a pancreatitis or that they were born with a bum pancreas. It's called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. So there are ways that you can look into it. I don't know what you've done so far as a workup other than looking at the stool specimens.
Okay. No, we haven't done any other workup. And I did do the three-day worming for them just in case we weren't getting anything. The dog does have the other symptoms, and maybe you're right on with the pancreas. His coat's a little bit greasy, and he sometimes has more of an odor to him than I would expect, being a young dog. And so is it extensive to have the pancreas tested?
Okay, so just remind me, how old and what kind of dog, Stephanie?
He's 4. And we actually had DNA testing on him because he has a little bit of an odd personality, too. He is a Siberian Husky and Bearded Collie cross.
Wow.
And one of the things that he did have as a puppy, his body apparently was too alkaline. So he had crystals in his urine, so he was on medication for that. So I don't know if that would give any other clue.
Okay. So to rule out the pancreas, the pancreatic problem, you could just do a blood test. It's not invasive. A pancreas problem that a dog could be born with is called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, EPI. And the blood test that would rule that out, Stephanie, is called a TLI. Okay, a
TLI.
And also, if there is a lot of diarrhea, you want to see if there's any proliferation of the bad kind of bacteria that are in the intestine, which would be called small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. There is something that could be done with it. It's basically vitamin B12 injections. So the test for that would be checking the dog's level of vitamin B12 and folate.
Okay.
So that's one test that is often bundled, the B12 folate and TLI. As far as a pancreatitis test, an inflammation of the pancreas, I don't know in a young dog, unless he's overweight, how likely that would be, but that's called a CPL, a canine pancreatic lipase. So these are all pancreas. But Stephanie, if there's an inflammatory condition in the intestine, then it wouldn't show up necessarily on those blood tests. That's a biopsy, or you could try therapeutic trials. In other words, dietary trials, medication trials would be a backdoor approach if you don't have a diagnosis.
Stephanie, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate you hanging in there. Dr. Ron Scharf is our guest. He's in the house now. 800-348-2551 is the number on this very exciting edition of Pets and Vets. 800-348-2551. We'll be right back with your calls.
Support for WAMC comes from Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. Pelham Auto Service at the Amherst-Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig, a worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972. PelhamAuto.com. Wash and Wag Pet Grooming Salon, Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Professionally trained groomers, organic, natural products, no cage drying. Facebook and 866-WASH-WAG. Speed Consulting and Coaching, Shelburne Falls. More than 20 years of working with leaders and teams committed to purposeful change. See it whole and move it forward. DLSPECHT.com. And the Department of Theater Arts at SUNY New Paltz, presenting Belfast Blues, Geraldine Hughes' one-woman show about war-torn Belfast, directed by Carol Kane, October 14th and 15th, newpaltz.edu.
Ah, everything. Everything's all right now. Dr. Ron Sharp is here. It's Pets and Vets with Ray Graff. 800-348-2551 is the number. What kept you, man? What kept you?
Traffic. Location.
Well, you know, Joe Donahue stepped in.
And did he say anything?
Well, nothing of real substance, but he was here for a couple of minutes. There was a lab question while you were probably running to the station.
And the lab question, I did
Joe
not
has
hear.
A lab, so Joe knew, you know?
I did hear your cat story. I did hear the...
Oh, that's true.
The God placed cat in the...
To torment
Graff
humans?
Family. Yes, yeah. I
not just the Graff family, all families.
There was a provocative article in yesterday's newspaper by a person who was very concerned. It was an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal about cats killing birds, and that there are many bird species that have been brought to extinction as a result of that.
Extinction?
And yes, and it was a radical suggestion that the writer wrote.
Thanks for bringing it up then. Yeah. I appreciate it very much. The number to call here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Ron Sharp is our guest on this Pets and Vets. This one came in via email at voxpop@wamc.org. This is from David in Poughkeepsie. We've had several cats over the years. This one utters a grunt when jumping down from over a height of 3 feet or so. So do I. Is this behavior a sign of discomfort? The cat grunts, Dr. Sharp.
I assume that it is a sign of behavior, though it sounds like it's happening before the act. So I wonder, whenever someone is jumping down, a dog or a cat, and or even going down the stairs and they're hesitant, then you're thinking front legs. It's a front leg problem.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if this cat's got a front leg problem. Elbow is one of the more common joints to go bad. And that would be one thing that you could actually give the cat a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. There's actually one that's labeled for use in cats. It's the only one. It's called Onsior, O-N-S-I-O-R.
Yes.
And try a trial course of a few days and see if there's as much grunting. Maybe there won't be as much grunting, or even a painkiller.
Okay.
Even a tramadol or something like that.
Or just don't have the cat jump 3 feet. I mean, that's another option, right?
That's true.
All right, back to the phones we go at 800-348-2551. And, is Stephanie again? Stephanie, are you there?
Me, I just called to say thank you to Dr. Sharp. We got disconnected, and I didn't want to think that you'd think I hung up on you.
Oh, you're very kind.
Oh, you're very welcome.
It's more likely I hung up on you, but I didn't mean it. Thank you, Stephanie. We
good
appreciate
luck, Stephanie.
It.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Bye now. Very polite. We have the most polite listeners
very
in the whole
sweet.
Wide world. Isn't it nice? Let's go to Marianne in Wilbraham. Marianne, you're on.
Hi. Hi, Doctor. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Marianne.
I'm calling about our Mastiff female dog. She's 11 years old. She's a cross between a Neapolitan Mastiff and an English Mastiff. She's a great dog, but she's having trouble now with her hind legs. She is walking, but she is having trouble, and I'm wondering if there's some physical therapy we can do for her to make her more comfortable and have her, you know, be able to walk more easily and get up and get down more easily.
Marianne, do you know what's causing her problem in the back end? Is it hips? Is it knees? Or what do we think?
I'm thinking it's hips. I know she has a little hip dysplasia.
Okay.
But now that she's, you know, getting older, it seems to be bothering her more.
And have you tried any medication?
No. Outside of like a baby aspirin, no.
Okay. So baby aspirin for a Mastiff would be a drop in the bucket, Marianne. I'm always advising my clients to be cautious with non-steroidal anti-inflammatories because they, if not used prudently, can cause ulcers or at least upset stomachs. But if you use the right dose and you always give it with a meal, then that's the first thing I would try, Marianne. I would try a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medication such as Deramax or Rimadyl or Prevacox, one of those. The aspirin's okay, but it's the granddaddy of the NSAID family. It's the least effective at anti-inflammatory properties, and I think it's also most inclined to cause upset stomachs compared to the later generation ones. So, and a baby aspirin is almost nothing for a Mastiff. It's, 140
pound dog. You're right. I was giving her a regular aspirin, as our vet had suggested some time back, in case she's in pain.
Okay. A regular aspirin, being an adult. Yeah, Rimadyl is one good possibility. Now, another thing to watch out for, I'm very cautious with anti-inflammatories, Marianne, is that you don't want to change to a different anti-inflammatory without what's called a washout period. That's 5 days or a seven-day period during which the dogs had no anti-inflammatories. And often a Tylenol-like medication could be used temporarily, or a painkiller could be used to bridge that five-day washout period.
Yeah.
But if the dog's been on the aspirin for a while and you want to switch to the Rimadyl, give it 5 days or a week in between during which she's had neither.
Okay.
Then there's also,
can I just buy the Rimadyl, or?
It's a prescription, so you have to get a script from your vet or get it from the vet. There's also a lot of other things that you could do, Marianne. There is PT, yes, to strengthen the muscles around the joints. There's also acupuncture. There's glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate. There is an injectable kind of almost turbocharged glucosamine called Adequin. It's an injection that has been used in horses as well as dogs. And there are other things beyond that as well. So I'd urge you to look into possibilities.
What treatment would it be? I know Tufts has a big veterinary clinic, I guess. I don't know if they get into this type of treatment.
Probably.
Are you aware of any in the greater Springfield area?
Springfield, no. I do not know of any. I'm sure there are veterinary hospitals around there, but I don't know of any teaching institutions or tertiary care type places.
All right, let's go over to Regina in Saratoga. Regina, you're on with Dr. Ron Scharf.
Hi, Doctor.
Hi, Regina.
I just want to make a quick question about the lab, because I think somebody should have asked, you know, if the dog's getting exercise, if he has, you know, some way that he likes to play. Because if he sounds otherwise healthy, right, he should be, like, more engaged in life with them. We had a black lab, and she really wasn't crazy about, you know, being scratched or loving or hugging or anything. Yeah. But the minute we would give her time, we'd sit on the floor with her, she'd run and grab a ball or a rope, or, like, as far as she was concerned, if you're going to love me, you're going to play with me.
I agree,
and
Regina.
And so I was just wondering why nobody asked him those questions, and I'm going to go, but thank you for listening to me.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much, Regina. I think you're right, that and I did express that I was surprised that a lab to be indifferent or standoffish is unusual. Mm. And I would think about doing things to, you know, bring him or her out of his or her shell, etc. What happened to Mark?
Mark left. He left.
Okay.
Yeah. He never called back. Hmm. I think his connection was bad.
Right.
And
that's
then
right.
We lost him.
That's
so,
right.
But thank you for asking. This one came in via email, and this one is from Karen. And there are some words I can't say, but we'll read it anyway, because that's what I do as a semi-professional broadcaster. Good afternoon. My dog has panis. Is that correct? Panis?
Yes, that's correct.
We give her prednisolone eye drops, one in each eye twice a day. Is there any other treatment, or do you have any recommendations for treating this condition? That's from Karen.
Okay. So panis, P-A-N-N-U-S,
right,
is the correct word. And that is a creeping problem across the eye of a dog. A lot of boxers get it. And the pred drops can prevent it, but the problem is sometimes the panis can get bad enough to cause an ulcer, and then the pred is bad. It's bad to use. I would urge Karen to look into having the dog seen by an ophthalmologist. There are veterinary ophthalmologists. If there is an ulcer, they could do some things that sometimes general practitioners cannot do. They have these contact lenses that'll help an eye.
I'm sorry, a dog with a contact lens.
A dog with a contact lens.
We're at the end.
It's not a reading lens. It's not
the end of the world.
It's not for reading. It's not for short or long vision, Ray.
Okay, fine.
Hold on to your seat.
All right.
It's just something to help it heal, help a corneal.
Oh, I gotcha.
A corneal injury or ulcer heal. So I don't know how bad the panis is, but it is true that the pred will slow it down. But as far as an actual medication, I talk to an eye person.
Okay, and then one more email, and then we'll get back to the phones, 800-348-2551. This one is from Eileen, who has a Beagle Terrier mix about 11 years old. And Eileen writes, I'm interested in making high-quality dog food at home. I've made food with white rice. Brown is not recommended for dogs? Also, pumpkin, cottage cheese, ground turkey, and ground beef, all recommendations found on the web. What does the doctor, that's you, suggest for a recipe?
Okay, so, Eileen, I applaud your wanting to put together some good ingredients for dogs. And it is true that the intestines of a carnivore are not as suited to digest brown rice as they are for white rice. The seed coat is much tougher, and you need a longer intestine to be able to do that. Pumpkin, great for fiber, and a lot of dogs with colitis will put on pumpkin to help them keep them regular and to make it easier for them. Cottage cheese is good. Meat is good. I don't know if there's enough calcium in this recipe, okay. Eileen. Calcium is the best idea, but there are several other calcium is the best example, but there are several other examples of trace minerals and nutrients that if you are not careful, the animal might not get enough of.
Okay.
So one of the great things that I would recommend doing, Eileen, is consulting with a veterinary nutritionist. That's someone who's pursued postdoctorate training in veterinary nutrition, and they do exist. And for my clients who want to put their animals on a home-cooked diet, I do direct them. There is a one of the websites is called PetDiets.com.
Okay.
And that would be it would be for a regular dog without any physical problem. It's a fairly inexpensive thing to ask on this website. I don't know if it's $30 or $40.
You got to pay to ask a question.
You got to pay to ask a question.
That's ludicrous.
These people have to earn us a living too, Ray.
All right, fine.
Come on. And then if the dog's got a physical problem, an internal problem, then prescription diets can be put together. Obviously, that's going to take more work and more effort and more money.
Okay, let's go to Steve in Sheffield, Mass. Steve, you're on with Dr. Ron Scharf.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I have a Shih Tzu mix who's 16 years old. He's developed crud around his eye because, you know, the problems with the eyes leaking.
Crud.
He has a heart murmur, which is, I think, a 2. I don't know if you know, but
yes.
That what that means.
I do.
He hates being groomed and he hates getting baths, and I do try to get the crud out, but I don't want to upset him too much.
Okay.
Is this a problem?
Yes,
maybe there's a solution I can use.
Yes. Steve, did you say that there's a lot of matter in the dog's eyes, but that
You know, Shih Tzus tend to leak a lot of things out of
yes.
mucus out of their eyes
yes.
and even nose. And through the years, I have cleaned it, but now it's dried and accumulated, you know, at the side
sure.
of his eye.
Sure. So you need to use some Xanax to get the crud taken out of the dog's eyes so that you could hit the ground running, Steve, and be able to, and if like when there's nothing that's uncomfortable for the dog, such as that eye discharge that's matting up the hairs around the eyes. After
right.
that, if you just take a damp cotton ball once or twice a day and just, you know, smear it against the dog's eye, and that ought to be able to keep it in check. But
so the Xanax, is that the what is Xanax?
A Xanax.
I know it as a drug for depression, I think. But.
It's an anti-anxiety medication, Steve. So
okay.
It's used in animals. It's used as a generic. It's called alprazolam. It's like Valium.
And it won't be any danger with the heart murmur.
It's very gentle. It's very gentle for old dogs, and it's very gentle for heart problems.
How does that help the eye crud?
Well, it makes the dog a little tranquilized so that a groomer or the owner can then
okay.
take care of the crud in the eyes.
Gotcha.
Because I'll tell you something, Steve and Ray, when I get these dogs in, it's more dogs than cats by far, that have a lot of that matter and mats up the hairs around the eyes. It's very uncomfortable. I try to get it out, but it's very difficult without some chemical persuasion, if you know what I mean.
Gotcha.
Because it does hurt. But if you can get it all out and then keep it out with that damp cotton ball every day, that would be good.
All right, that's what I used to do in the past, but it's just accumulated so much in the last couple months. So Xanax I need to get from my vet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks, Steve.
Okay.
We appreciate the call very much.
Good luck.
And over to Hedvig in Hudson. You're on.
Oh, hi. I had something to say about the cat.
Yeah.
Your cat comment.
Yeah.
And see if the vet, it's just in my theory, but see if the doctor has anything to say about this. I think I'm right. I think that I'm a dog person and a cat person of many years. So I have a lot of experience with many, many animals, but I'm not a professional. But it seems to me that most of the animals that we associate with closely, humans, are also herd animals. So there's a commonality there, and they adapt. Like a dog will adapt to the herd configuration of the household and so forth.
That's
we know that. Whereas a cat, not a herd animal, and has a completely different orientation as an organism. And I think that people are, you know, they're resentful that the cat doesn't behave in the herd mentality. And that's just my theory.
I like it.
And
Hedvig, I think it's more than a theory. I totally agree with you, as do most people that I would speak to, that cats are not the social animals that dogs are. They're not herd animals. And it's surely the case that a lot of cat behavior problems stem from there being a multiple number of cats in a household, okay? More, you know, three or more, that kind of thing. And they develop these weird territorial problems, and then they get spiteful, and then there could be one of them bullying the other, and then one of them hiding. And it's very challenging when there are five or six or so cats. And it's very difficult because there's a lot of people out there that have big hearts, and they want to take care of cats that don't have homes, and they give them home, but then it may not necessarily be the best place for a given cat to be in a multiple cat household. But I agree with you. They are solitary.
It seems to me that the best approach to a cat is to approach a cat with respect.
Agreed.
You know, and then you'll get the best result from the cat.
Well, our cat is very social. Our cat is very social and loving and wonderful, but just a lot smarter than the humans in the house, and that's the problem.
Well, some cats are more social than others. Cats that were wandering around the animal hospital property last fall, and they were kittens. They were 3 months old. There was a litter, and so two of my staff people took one each, and I took one, and the one that I took was always very, very standoffish, even after we had provided many weeks of love and food and petting and everything like that. And it prompted me to come up with a name for her. She would only approach you if you ignored her. So therefore, her name is Nora, because if you ignore her, then she comes up. And she's still a lot like that. She's very skittish. And I think that a lot of cats are like that. They want attention only on their own terms.
And
there are a lot of cats who are very gregarious and come up and enjoy being in the family, but not all of them. So you're very right, Hedvig. I agree.
Our number is 800-348-2551. Our guest is Ron Scharf. It is Pets and Vets for this month of September. 800-348-2551 or email voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Northeast Solar in Hatfield, Massachusetts, helping Pioneer Valley residents live more sustainably with solar power for home, business, or farm. Keep solar local, northeast-solar.com. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, specializing in wine and craft spirits for more than 15 years, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins, grapesandgrainswine.com. The Lathrop Communities, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for over 25 years, independent living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, in the heart of the Pioneer Valley, lathrop.kendall.org. The Whistling Kettle, Troy and Boston Spa, offering freshly baked quiche with a variety of herbs and spices, including vegetarian offerings, thewhistlingkettle.com. And the University at Albany Theater Program, presenting student-centered theater in the Capital Region for over 100 years, albany.edu/theater.
Vox Pop on WAMC, Pets and Vets, 800-348-2551. Ray Graff here, joined by Dr. Ron Scharf. And back to the phones we go. John in Albany. John, you're on.
Oh, hey, guys. I have a cat that's 14 and a half years old. And I was actually going to call you guys in the beginning of the summer, but I just didn't get a chance to because she had been losing hair in patches, kind of like hot spots. And also at that time, she'd become more aggressive. She used to be kind of standoffish, and now she'll go after, not all dogs, but she kind of will lay in wait and attack dog sometimes. I've been calling her the attack kitty, but more recently she's definitely drinking more and going to the bathroom more, and her appetite is fine, but you know, you could feel her shoulder blades and her ribs a little. She's losing weight, and I was wondering what you think about that.
John, I think I'll tell you exactly what I think about that. I think hyperthyroidism. Okay. Now, there are many things that will cause a cat to drink more, the most common at an older age being kidney problems. However, when the kidneys are causing a big enough problem, they'll often have an effect on the appetite. And so there'll be a bit of a sour stomach, and the cat won't eat as much. If you're telling me that the cat's appetite's fine, and yet she's losing weight and drinking a lot of water, it's a relatively simple thing to do a blood test for thyroid. It's a T4, it's called. Total T4 will tell you whether or not that's what you're dealing with, and if it is, there's something you could do about it.
Oh.
I don't know if it has anything to do with the patches of hair or the increased aggression. It might or it might not. The patchy hair, I would wonder, John, is she going at herself? Do you see her nibbling or licking at herself a whole lot?
I think so, yeah.
Because that makes me wonder, it's either fleas or allergies.
Oh, okay. So you think I should take her in for a blood test, and then there's some kind of treatment for the thyroid, you think?
Yes, absolutely.
If that is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, what is it, like a medication or?
So generally it's a medication. 99% of people that treat their hyperthyroid cats do use a medication. There are two other ways of treating it. There is a more definitive way by using radioactive iodine. And what you do is you got to take the cat to a special place. They give it a shot of this radioactive iodine. They put the poop in a bag for 3 or 4 days. Then they send the cat home. And you never have to do anything again medication-wise. And it's got a really high success rate. But it's pricey. Now, as a cost-benefit, if you do a cost-benefit analysis, if you have a cat that's, say, 15 or 16, you will not make up the money for the radioactive treatment. But if your cat's 14 and you're looking at the possibility of 2 years of medication, then you might want to consider that possibility. But like I say, John, 99% of people, or more than 99%, go with the medication.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thanks for taking my call. Have a good one.
Thanks. Good
luck. You too. We appreciate it. Over to Maureen in Williamsburg. Maureen, you're on.
Hi. I have a worry about my 12-year-old border collie because he's been sort of scratching himself with his hind paw, and I thought maybe he got bit by something, and I checked, and he has a lump, a kind of squishy lump. And I'm going to call the vet, but I would just like to know what are the possibilities. Could it be a fatty tumor?
Absolutely.
Can they aspirate it or, you know, just drain it if it's not something more serious?
Absolutely. Lipomas, which are benign fatty tumors, Maureen, are easy to diagnose. Yes, they can put a needle into it and make sure it's a lipoma, but they do not cause an itch. They do not cause the cat to scratch at himself. So I would not think that lump, if it is the lump that's causing him to scratch at himself, I wouldn't think it's a lipoma. Now, it could be maybe it's an abscess. Maybe there's something poked in there and he's got a little thorn or some kind of little tiny foreign body, and that's causing him to scratch at himself. A third possibility, Maureen, is that the lump has nothing to do with the scratching. The scratching, maybe he's allergic. You said it started kind of during an allergy season recently.
Yeah.
And that the bump has something else.
He was taking Benadryl, and, like, he's doing this persistently. You know, like it's making him uncomfortable. I mean, that's what I noticed.
The Benadryl, Maureen, is only effective for a very low-level allergy. Okay, there are much stronger things than that to use. The classic one has always been prednisone that you try to use as temporarily as possible. But now there is a new medication out that doesn't have the side effects of prednisone called Apoquel. And it's the best stuff that's happened to allergic animals in forever, basically.
Huh.
It's really great medication. It's not without its own potential side effects. I mean, it is somewhat of an immunosuppressant, as prednisone is, but it doesn't cause that incredible thirst that the pred will cause, the peeing. You got to take the animal out more often or else they might do their business in the house.
Right.
With long-term use, it can cause internal problems as well. So I'm loving that Apoquel for a lot of my allergic. I don't know whether or not that's what your border collie has, Maureen. But, yeah, put a needle, go to a vet, put a needle into the bump and see whether or not there's either fleas or allergies.
What should I ask the vet? I mean, I don't want to, you know, sometimes, and I hate to say this, it costs a lot of money.
Yeah,
and right.
Blood tests, and they recommend, like, surgery or something.
Right, no.
You know, I mean, what kind of tests should I ask for?
Okay, so as far as the itchiness, it may just be an exam.
Well, you know, it's just that he's scratching it, but it seems like to me that he's scratching it because it's bothering him.
Yeah.
So if it's bothering him, you know, the vast majority of tumors, Maureen, the vast majority of cancers do not bother the animal until they grow so big. Maybe they outgrow their blood supply and then other stuff happens. But generally speaking, tumors do not cause a whole lot of attention from an animal. Except in rare circumstances. So
you're thinking maybe something else.
Yeah. I don't think it's a tumor in the way you're thinking of.
All right, Maureen, thank you so much for the call. Dr. Ron Scharf is our guest. Scott in Durham. Scott, you're on.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
Hi, Scott.
I got a, she's a lab. I think she's probably around, not quite two. And she just seems like she has a lot of anxiety. She's very anxious and, like, when you go to pet her, she just can't calm down. She flips her head around a lot. And then when you pet her, she seems like she, like, nervous, shaking a little. And I just, I feel bad for her. I wish she could just calm down. I was told maybe some Benadryl or something.
Nah, don't do that. Tell me something, Scott. How old was she when you got her?
I don't know, because they got her for me after I lost my other one, but she was under a year. I mean, she was only, you know, like maybe a few months.
Because depending upon what she encountered when she was 2 months, 3 months of age, Scott, it does a lot about molding someone's personality. I mean, same with people at a certain age, you know, those golden years or whatever. You're probably too young to know about
the golden years. When are the golden years? When do they begin?
The Wonder Years. That's
the Wonder Years.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
That's all right. But their major socialization period, Scott, is around, I don't know, about a month and a half to 2.5 months or 3 months of age, 3.5 months, somewhere
in that
time.
Yeah, I think we got her after that.
Yeah, so what you need to do is you need to convince her, Scott, in your behavior and in your treats, in your the biscuits that you give her, that she will only be rewarded for calm behavior, calm and non-anxious behavior. So what a lot of people do is they'll see that the animal is nervous, and they'll try to console the animal, and they'll pet the animal, and inadvertently will be applying positive reinforcement to that anxious state of mind. Okay? So what you need to do is convince her that, first of all, get her to get some, if you haven't already, some commands under her belts, a sit, a stay, a down, whatever, and then do
a little bit.
Yeah, good. I would work on that, and I would tell her, I would demonstrate to her that when she does what she's told immediately, she gets all these good treats. Okay, number one. That's step number one. Now, step number two is to take those same treats and to reward the times that she is calm. Okay? And you could call it whatever you want. A lot of people call it settle. Okay? So what you do is when she's relaxed and just lying there and she's not hypervigilant and she's very calm, you say, good settle, sweetie, and you give her a treat. And she doesn't know why she got the treat, but you're looking for other opportunities for her to be calm and to give her a treat and then to use that word. And then, hopefully, someday after several weeks or a month or two, you'll find her in an almost settled state and you will try to put her into a fully settled state by using that word. And then, hopefully, eventually, she will settle down, and then she gets the treat. And when she makes that connection, Scott, that's when you could start capitalizing on it by training her to settle with baby steps at progressively, you capture it in states where she's just a little further away from being settled than the last time. Okay, so in other words, the last time, maybe she wasn't settled because her ears were forward and she was looking around, and then you put her into a settle, and she's not looking around, she's not hypervigilant, she settles, and then you give her a treat, and then the following time, you'll try it when she's a little further away from settled than that previous time, and you, with baby steps, with little tiny bits at a time, you try to teach her that calm behavior will get her rewards and non-calm behavior won't. And then the hope is that she would gravitate toward calm behaviors.
Thank you very much, Scott. Let's go to Mark in Salem. Mark, you're on with Dr. Ron Scharf.
Hi. I've had hundreds of cats over my lifetime. And I've got a tuxedo black, they call it, I believe. It has the white paws and the cummerbund and all that. And yes, it was dropped in my barn. His eyes had not changed color yet when he was dropped, but he was on solid food, and he learned to use a cat pan within 24 hours. But he has this one habit that I can't seem to break him of, and that is that he likes to bite. And he bit me in the ear and drew blood, bit me in the nostrils.
Ouch.
And drew blood.
Nice.
My arms look like I've been through World War II. And he does that to everybody. He doesn't scratch, but he just bites. And I've tried ignoring him when he bites. I take him away, off and put him on the floor. And I've tried tapping him on the nose when he bites, and I've tried pinching his ear when he bites, and I can't seem to break him of the habit. Now, is he going to outgrow this? He's like 3 months old. Otherwise, he's a very good cat. I mean, he is a kitten, it does what kittens do, and he's very good about being clean and everything. But he just has this nasty habit of biting. He doesn't scratch. He grabs your arm, and he'll climb up on your shoulder and go around the backside of you and bite you in the ear. Or he'll jump off something, like if you're on the bed and you're sees your eyes open, he takes a flying leap across the bed and bites you in the eyelid.
Well, how
all
nice.
Right. All right. So the risk, Mark, of alienating a lot of cat fanciers, because what I'm going to say is might be thought of as being politically incorrect.
Here
at 3
go.
Months of age, you grab the cat by the scruff of the neck, you pull him off your shoulder, you get in his face, you say, dit, 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 whatever the words you choose,
it doesn't matter.
Ow,
ow, ow, ow,
yeah,
like
right.
That.
You go like that, you flick him away in a humane way. I mean, it's not that it's going to be harmful
right.
for him, but you have to be convincing. You can't take a carnivore, a 3-month-old cat that's a carnivore, who is not getting the benefit of mom's feedback,
training,
and expect them to just be trained by words and please and thank you type methods. You need to be a little convincing.
No, I've been using the ow, 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 and being like just throw them down onto the floor, not throw them, but place them on the floor and say, leave me alone. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, last night he caught his first mouse and in the house. I mean, it was, and so it's reinforced his bad behavior because now he's after everything with his teeth.
Oh, well, that's just because he's like that with a mouse doesn't necessarily mean that he carries over that behavior to humans,
yeah.
Mark. I mean,
it's good to catch mice.
You want him to catch the
yeah.
mice.
Yeah, I
that's
do.
What they're for.
But I've never had a cat, and I'm 64 years old, and I've had cats since I was a little kid. And I've never had a cat that was so persistent about biting. And he has those needle-sharp baby teeth.
Yeah.
Right. So get a can and put 5 pennies into the can and seal the top of the can and then shake the can real hard whenever he's getting a little too over-exercised,
yeah.
a little too
That's
excited. Yeah.
That's
or
you
play the trombone. That my cat would hate that. He'd play a little trombone.
Well, I would say also a water gun, but he's too close. He's too close. If
right.
he's right on your shoulder,
right.
you can't do it. So
I mean, what he does is he comes up the front and goes around the back, and he thinks he's going to. He sits there for a few minutes, and all of a sudden, he reaches over and he bites you in the earlobe.
Oh, boy.
And the other day, he bit me. I was lying in bed, and he came flying across the bed and bit my ear. So I've got a ear piercing.
Oh, good
yeah,
good
he needs a convincing. He needs to get some convincing feedback in a way that's not inhumane,
gentle,
Mark.
But firm.
Gentle but firm. All right. Yeah, you
yeah
need to
that's
be
what I've been trying to do. But the idea of something in a can that might scare him a little bit would probably be the best thing. Yeah.
Well, Mark, good luck. And, you know, I hope your eyelids stay intact. And it was a nice call.
Good luck,
and,
Mark.
Well, I think that's about it for the show
today.
Good
luck with those piercings.
Dr. Sharp, you're going to show up on time for the next one?
Oh, man. I'll have
leave
to
leave early, right?
I have to leave an hour early.
Have a lunch, and then you come in. You have lunch near the station. You park the car. You come
to
the show.
Right. I'll do that.
What is
I'll
the website that for you guys?
The website is animalhospitalniskayuna.com.
AnimalHospitalNiskayuna.com. Things going well?
Everything is going well.
Yeah,
yes.
But you look like you could use a nap.
All right.
Was it this
if
show that
so
did it to you again? You know, I have that effect. And frankly, I don't ever want to have to answer questions about dogs or cats again.
No, I'm fine.
So show
I'm
up
fine
on time. That's
yeah, I'll show up.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for
being I liked your cat story, though.
Well, it's a true story. It's really how I feel. And support comes from Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, New York, Custom Exhibits, interactive media displays and commercial casework for corporate interiors, museum installations, and trade shows, empireexhibits.com. Watercolors by Edith, Shutesbury, Massachusetts. Painter Edith Hunsberger exhibiting watercolor and acrylic paintings at Paradise City in Northampton, Massachusetts. Columbus Day weekend, booth number 935, edith-hunsberger.artistwebsites.com. Union Gables Mansion Inn, Saratoga Springs, providing hotel amenities and historic bed and breakfast setting with a heated pool, wraparound porches, and private balconies, uniongables.com. And Bodywork Professionals, licensed massage therapists, Nick Pavoldi, advanced structural integration practitioner, proprietor, offices in Latham and Saratoga Springs, open 7 days, your massage and bodywork experts, bodyworkprofessionals.com. Well, that's it for the show. Thanks again to Dr. Ron Scharf. Thanks to Joe Donahue for sitting in today. Dr. Ron Scharf arrived late and leaving early. The show's not... Well, nice seeing you again. Good seeing you, Ron. And thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer, who presumably will stay for the next few moments. And thanks to Joe Makowitz, who answered the calls. Tomorrow, it's gardening. I'm Ray Graff. Stand by for news.